Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, this is Ace Frehley, and you're watching Talking Metal. Rock and roll.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff. It's time to rock. Broadcasting worldwide from John Astronomy's Silver Spacecraft. You are listening to the Talking Metal Podcast. So sit back, grab a drink, turn up the earbuds, and hit that oxygen axle road style. Because this ship has just hit hyperspace. Ladies and gentlemen, will you please welcome the greatest podcasters this side of Mars, Mark Striegel and John Astronomy.
Hey, 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 podcasting from the Silver Spacecraft here in Jersey City, New Jersey. It's been a while since I've been over to John's place. John, thanks for having me over. A big Talking Metal toast to you.
Thanks, Mark. I am psyched to be back in action at the Silver Spacecraft Studio, Jersey City, New Jersey.
Yes.
And we are here for another very special podcast. This is the Countdown to Anomaly, Part 2.
Yes. What are you drinking there? We have very special glasses, by the way. They are cards, including, of course, the Ace of, what is that, the club?
Ace of clubs. Yeah, I got the same glass, and we are drinking ginger ale, and I have to say that I got turned on to ginger ale because when I went out to dinner with Ace a couple weeks ago, that's what he was drinking, so cool. I had one too, and I think it's very good.
Yes, perfect drink for a Sunday afternoon here in Jersey City, where all sorts of action is taking place right down the street here. A plane collided with a helicopter, and sadly, they are still, I'm talking just literally, what, like a quarter mile from where we are here. They are still out in the water looking for bodies. So kind of a sad day yesterday.
Definitely. I was outside checking out all of the action, and it's really a strange thing because, sadly, they have not yet recovered everyone who was unfortunately a victim in this incident.
Yeah.
So on a lighter note, we are very proud to bring you part two of the exclusive Talking Metal interview with the one and only Ace Frehley.
Yes, part one, of course, was on the last episode, 276. Part three, I don't know what that'll be. Maybe 278 or 79.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see when we get
right
to it.
We'll probably follow this episode up with the episode featuring Devin Townsend, and
yes,
then maybe part three of the Countdown to Anomaly will premiere after that one.
And when does an Anomaly officially come out?
Anomaly comes out on September 15th via Bronx Born Records, which is Ace's own label. He has full media support from a company called Rocket Science, which is run by some really good friends of ours, and got some really great distribution through Sony Red, and I heard he just signed a European deal. So tons of stuff happening with Ace, and I really love the fact that Ace is back out there again, and he's all over the place now.
Yes, including MTV. From what I'm told, he will be on the Headbangers Ball in September.
Yeah, September 19th. Looks like it's a tentative date for that. Maybe we'll push it up a little bit. Not sure, but guess what? He will be on MTV2 on the Headbangers Ball, hosted by yours truly, John and Mark of Talking Metal.
Yeah, so that'll be a lot of fun. Please tune into that, guys, and please support Ace and his new record. From what I've heard, the little sound samples, this is an amazing record.
Without a doubt, I've heard like the entire album. I've been one of the lucky people to hear the record, and I just can't wait till it's actually out there and I have the CD in my hands, and I'm actually going to buy the actual copy of the CD.
Well, me too, and I encourage all the Talking Metal listeners to do the same. This is an album that you definitely want to have on your shelf, in your collection. And, you know, the MP3s, they sound good, but CDs definitely sound better. They're a higher sample rate, and this is an album you want to experience every piece of clarity that you can, you know, if that makes
sense. No doubt. No, it absolutely does make sense. Now, here's the other thing, though. There is a bonus track on the iTunes version, so we're going to still have to buy that, too, so we can get the bonus track.
All right. Very good. Anyways, let's get into some new Ace music and follow that up with John and Ace. Recorded, what, like 2 weeks ago?
Yep, definitely. And in this excerpt, we're going to talk about the album. We break it down track by track, and it's a great interview.
We're also going to hear about Anton Figg, who I guess is back on this record.
Yeah, absolutely. Anton was in the studio the time, actually both times I went down to the studio when Ace was in the recording process, and you'll hear about Ace's great, long-lasting relationship with Anton.
Let's check it out.
This is Outer Space, the first single off of Anomaly.
You said you wanted my love to be a part of your game. But when I came from above, I looked around but you turned up lame. But now you're scratching and crawling your way up from the grave. You should have stayed in the dirt, girl. It's like I told you. It's like I told you I came from outer space. That's how I know your name. It's like I told you I came from outer space. I wanna take you away.
You're doing a great cover of Sweet's Fox on the Run. How did that come about?
Actually, the girl that does my makeup, Pam Oresti, she came up with the idea last year. And, I talked to, you know, my assistant Frank about it and Marty Fredrickson, and we just went with it. You know, me and Marty Fredrickson actually tracked that in his studio one afternoon in about 4.5 hours.
Now, is that you playing bass and guitar in it?
No, actually, Marty's playing bass and doing the backgrounds, and I think he's doing some chord work. I think he's doing some synth work on it. I did all the guitar work, the solo, and lead vocals.
Very cool. Well, the track sounds great. There are so many great tracks on the record. One of my favorites is Pain in the Neck, and what was really cool is back in the recording process when you were at Schoolhouse Studios in Manhattan, I delivered a bass down to you guys.
Yeah.
And you let me hear an instrumental track. You sang it to me like off of a sheet of paper, and that was a killer experience, man. I love that tune. What is the inspiration behind Pain in the Neck?
You know, my wife actually thought it was about her. But, I probably wrote that about all the women I've known who have sometimes been a pain in the neck from time to time.
Now, this album, you're doing something that I think is really cool. You're tuning down on certain tracks. For example, is that a detuning?
Yeah, like, for instance, Outer Space is a drop D. Genghis Khan, the rhythm track on that, basically all I did was tune the first string, the E, to a G.
Wow.
And that's all I do with that one. Beginning of Genghis Khan has some kind of weird tuning. I still haven't figured out what it is. I just did it one afternoon, and we recorded it, and then I didn't take notes. I'll figure it out, though, for live. Anton did a fabulous drum track on that.
I've always liked Anton's playing because although it's rock and roll, Anton throws up some cool different changes in all the stuff, and that's what I think makes it really happen.
Well, you know, Anton's got a way of playing where he kind of plays a little behind the beat. He has a swing to everything he does. Plus, you know, the fills that he does aren't really the normal fills most drummers would use, which is what I love about him because he's always surprising me with the stuff he comes up with. But it's always less than more. You know, rather than overplay, he'll underplay, which I think for rock and roll is the way to go for almost any drummer. You know, and as you just said, you know, I started working with Anton in 1978 on my first solo album, and I've worked with him ever since on every project I've ever done. He's just a terrific guy, a good friend, and a fabulous drummer.
No doubt about it. And you invited me out on stage to sing backups in Rocket Ride at a Fraley's Comet show.
And believe it or not,
Anton was on one of those gigs. So it was really cool that I got to be on stage with you and Anton.
The great Anton Figg.
Absolutely. So, Ace, one of the tunes on the record, Sister, is a song that you've had and you've played live before, and I'm so glad that it finally is on a record.
Well, you know, I read my fan mail and I listen to what the fans say, and everybody really wanted me to do that song. So I actually got my touring drummer, Scotty Coogan, to play drums on that. We recorded that up at my studio in Westchester, New York. Fabulous track, a lot of power. And I'm real happy with the way it turned out.
And I love the fact that you're doing recording in your own studio, because you've always been into technology and computers. How was it recording the record in your own place?
Well, I mean, it was great. I've had my own studios in the past, so it wasn't any revelation. But it was the first time I recorded in this particular studio, which I acquired around the turn of the century. Does that sound like it was a long time ago? It was only 9 years. So it was the first time I did any master recordings in that particular studio. So it was kind of fun, you know. I'm still trying to figure out where the sweet spots are in the room to put mics and stuff like that. But overall, I was real happy with the way it turned out.
Very, very cool. Another track, A Little Below the Angels, is, I would say, one of the most autobiographical tracks on the record.
Yeah, I mean, I talk about my recovery and I suggest certain things. But I actually rewrote that song 3 times. And at the very last minute, I heard in my head, I heard little kids singing the chorus. So I had a first grade school teacher, a friend of mine, Will, got his girlfriend who's a teacher. We had a first grade class all set up and it fell through. I couldn't make it. So at the last minute, I called up my friend Mike Supa. He came over with his daughter and two of her friends, and they knocked it off in an hour. It was unbelievable. They never heard the song before, and they just sang it after listening to it 2 or 3 times. So I guess that's a good test or barometer whether or not it's a good hook.
Great.
And he said she's still singing it ever since.
Very cool. Now, is Monique on that track too?
Well, actually, that night the girls came over and sang. One of the girls did the talking part, which introduces the chorus out, and she did a great job. But, you know, after, you know, listening to it, I said, you know, wouldn't it be special if I got my daughter to actually do the part where she's talking to her daddy, which is me? So last time Monique was in town, I brought her into the studio, and we did that overdub, and I replaced the other girl's voice with Monique. So it's actually my daughter, Monique, and very special to me.
Absolutely, Ace. One of the closing tunes on the record, except for the iTunes exclusive, is called Fractured Quantum, and this is the 4th song in the Fractured Mirror series. And how did you come up with a brand new version of it?
Well, you know, I've always had different guitar parts and snippets, and that's kind of the way all those instrumentals come about. You know, you start with one part, and then you take another part, and then I pulled another part from a different song, and I incorporated it in Fractured Quantum, and I'm really happy with the way it turned out. I also used the same guitar effect I used in Fractured Mirror, where I used a double neck. You know, I'm playing the figure on one neck, but I'm using the pickup on the other neck. So basically, you're just picking up the bell resonance sound of the figure I was playing, and I ended the track with that, and pretty cool.
Is that the double neck that is the only Cherry Sunburst SG double neck in history?
Yeah.
Amazing. Now, that is a great guitar. How did they get that finish on there? Because that's normally like a mahogany.
I got a phone call from one of the guys at the custom shop at Gibson Guitars, and he said, Ace, we can't do a Cherry Sunburst. You know, the wood's too dark, you know, to get the yellow parts, you know. And I said, well, why don't you just go out and get a bottle of Clorox and bleach the wood?
Wow.
So he did, and that's how we got a Cherry Sunburst double neck.
And it worked. It absolutely worked. The guitar is beautiful.
I'm loving it.
So speaking of Gibson guitars, we're here at the Gibson Showroom, and you are working on a brand new signature model. And your signature model, I think, was the highest selling signature model to date.
That's what I'm told.
It's beautiful. I have two of them. I have this one here, which is the rare Blue Silver Sunburst Epiphone version. Ace, you've got the one and only Gibson version of this. And then I've got one of the beautiful custom shop Cherry Sunbursts.
Mine's in California, so I was using it on a shoot out there. If it wasn't out there, it would definitely be here today.
So, Ace, tell me about the new one.
Well, the new one's going to be a Blue Burst, you know, flame top with special Gibson humbucking pickups and some interesting features. I think on the headstock is going to be kind of the image that's on my CD cover, you know, on Anomaly. So I think it looks great, and I'm just waiting for them to put up the finishing touches on so we can reveal it to the world.
Absolutely. And I think the fact that the artwork from the Anomaly cover is on this headstock because the image from your first solo album is on your other signature guitar. So I think it really fits perfectly.
Go figure.
Absolutely. Now, Ace, you designed the CD cover, and how long did you work on that? Because it's a killer design.
Yeah, I actually started that cover in probably November. And it went through many metamorphoses and evolutions. And up until like a month ago, I was still changing it and playing with the font in Photoshop. And pretty much now, it's right where we want it to be.
Cool. So, Ace, now you spend a lot of time on the computer doing computer graphics, and you've been doing that forever. How do you divide your time between computer and guitar?
I mean, during the record, I really had to like turn the computers off at times because, you know, when I start playing with graphics, I kind of go away, you know, and I really have to sometimes just say, Ace, you can't turn on the computer today. You got to go down to the studio and work.
Good for you.
That's how I got through that.
Cool. So, Ace, after the record comes out in September, do you have plans to take it out on the road?
Absolutely. Yeah, we don't have a tour booked at this point. We're just, you know, trying to put it all together, and I'm sure by the fall we'll have something in place.
Great. Now, is it going to be the same lineup as your last tour with Derek and Anthony and Scotty?
As far as I know. As far as I know, yeah.
Good deal, man. City by Ace Frehley from the album Spacewalk, a tribute to Ace Frehley. Now, it's really cool that Ace actually had an original tune on this album, which came out in 1996. Very, very cool.
Nice. I wanted to ask you, our friend Donnie G, a longtime Talking Metal listener, is excited because he bought a ticket to see Ace down in L.A. at the Viper Room. He lives in San Francisco, so I think that's about a six-hour drive for him. But he is such a diehard Ace fan that he's going to make the drive down there. Is this like a special gig with Steven Adler or something?
He did something else with Steven Adler. Ace played at the Paul Green School of Rock gig
out there
with Steven Adler, and I believe so. I believe that's what that was. But I'm not sure exactly who will be playing at this gig. Now, as you heard in the interview, I asked Ace if his touring band from the last tour will be the touring band on the next tour, and he said as far as he knows. Now, I know that Ace recently did some jamming with people like Matt Sorum and John Five, and you can see them play Cold Gin in the new EPK that has been released on YouTube and
excellent.
On AceFrehley.com. So who knows who will be part of this gig, but I know one thing, it's going to rock.
Yeah, he was also wondering if you or I were going to fly out for the gig, and unfortunately, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be able to, although I would love to, because that would be a perfect birthday present for myself, from myself, because my birthday is coming up in September.
Yeah, you should, man. You should.
I know.
Yeah, you should do it.
It would be really, really cool. Maybe I will. Maybe I will.
Go out for a night and turn around the next day.
Just come right back. Have a rocking time. So, Donnie G, maybe I will see you out there. Let me see what's happening.
Cool. And we just can't thank Ace enough, Matt Larson, and all our friends over at Rocket Science for hooking us up with Ace, and especially not only the podcast stuff, but we've shot this entire interview that John did with Ace, and hopefully you'll be seeing that on MTV2 real soon, like John mentioned earlier, and also we will eventually have it up on our YouTube page.
Right. Jay Bones, the great Jay Bones, is currently putting the entire Talking Metal episode together. And what's cool about this, guys, is that in addition to the footage we shot with Ace at the Gibson Guitar Showroom, Mark and I shot our own host segments at a great studio in New York City, and you'll get to see us broadcasting from Midtown Manhattan for the first time, because we always talk about how we're broadcasting from Midtown Manhattan, but this time you will see it.
Yes, definitely. So please tune in for that. And remember, all the great Talking Metal content is up there on youtube.com/talkingmetal. Even more content, video content I'm talking about now, on talkingmetal.com in our video section.
Right. I was looking at that today. There are just so many videos. There's, you know, the stuff that we did with Jay recently, and I'm talking about Jay Bones. There's the stuff that we did with Fuse. There's the segment we did for MTV2. There's VH1 stuff. There's just all kinds of Talking Metal content up there. And that brings me to another thing. I just wanted to remind you guys that in addition to all of that cool stuff, we just posted a brand new Ace Frehley Countdown to Anomaly photo gallery.
It's amazing. John was just showing me this, and there are so many photos, most of which come from your personal collection, of Ace through the years. And, I mean, you go way back. I think there's like that first Frehley's Comet tour is on.
Yeah.
There are some pictures of you and Ace backstage hanging out. There's even one shot, which I first thought was you, but it turned out to be Todd Howarth.
Yeah. There's a shot where it's Todd Howarth.
You had lighter hair back then, curlier.
Right. I had curly brown hair, and then there's a picture of me with Ace, and I have the curly brown hair, and then right next to it's a picture of Todd and Ace, and he has almost the exact same haircut. And if you don't look closely, you'll think that's just another picture of me and Ace, but it's actually a picture of Todd and Ace that I shot in Philadelphia in 1987. Just so many great photos, and let me tell you guys, there's about 80 photos up there, and I guarantee that there's at least 60 that I've never put on any kind of a website or anything like that, so this is definitely going to be a treat for all of you Ace fans.
I love the newest photos of you and Ace. I mean, they're so professionally shot. What is that from? I mean, that's like a pro photo shoot of some sort, right?
Yeah, those photos were shot by Justin Barucci. He has a great website. We're going to link it in our show notes. And that was at Ace Frehley's Guitar World photo shoot. And basically, it was an amazing situation. I told this on the podcast before. I was hanging out outside talking to some of my friends from Revolver Magazine and also from Guitar World Magazine. And the door of the photo shoot opened, and somebody said, is there a guy named John here? And I go, yeah, that's me. And they go, hey, Ace wants you in here. So I go in there, hang out with him the whole photo shoot, and then at the end he says, hey, John, why don't you jump in here and get in some photos? And
yeah,
that's what
awesome.
This is from.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I mean, some of the photos, too, that you were showing me in the gallery, which is where? In the photo section on TalkingMetal.com?
Yeah, go to the photo section. It's the first link currently in the photo section, and then you click on that, and then it takes you to a special Ace Frehley page.
Cool. Some of the photos, which I believe was at Rhode Island, where you might not know what they are, but it's actually your back, and you're out on stage actually jamming with Ace at one of these concerts.
Frehley's Comet concerts. Yeah, it was amazing. It was Ace, John Regan, Todd Howarth, and Anton Figg, and most fans may not realize that Anton actually did do some touring with Ace, and I was lucky enough to not only see those concerts, but I was able to jump on stage with them, and I went out twice. I have a white shirt on and curly brown hair, so I don't look like I currently do, but you'll be able to tell it's me, and I'm singing in the song Rocket Ride.
Cool. Very cool. Anyways, fun stuff. Always one of my favorite rock stars. Ace is the man. Kiss just isn't the same without him.
No doubt.
Let's blow through a couple other things real quick here and then get back to some Ace music. I'm back on Facebook, guys. I was on there, and then I was gone, and now I'm back. So please friend me. I'd love to meet you and hook up with you on Facebook. Mark, just search like Mark Talking Metal. I think it's Talking Metal is one word, and we can do what you do on Facebook. Ton of hits for the interview that we did with Brendan Small. Pretty amazing that out of all the big rock stars, I mean, Duff McKagan, who sold probably more albums than anybody we've ever had on the podcast, he gave us a little minor spike over our regular, you know, downloads and listenership. But Brendan Smalls, I mean, he threw us over the top.
No doubt about it, man.
And I said Smalls. It's Brendan Small. Brendan right. Small. Yeah.
I'm laughing because we were talking about that in the interview. I think we're confusing him, as I said, with Derek Smalls. We've had that name ingrained in our head forever.
Brendan Small, an amazing musician and a great television producer, basically, and writer for that matter, just really threw Talking Metal over the top.
I mean, yeah.
It's been a while since we've had that many.
I know. Albums. We were rocking. We were doing great. I am addicted to Metalocalypse.
Great show. Great show. You guys should check it out, and we are psyched for the third season, which I believe is coming soon. Our friend Sean Baker, his CD is now out. We played a song off of that a while ago, actually. If you guys like shredding, you got to get Sean Baker's new CD, Baker's Dozen. Check him out on myspace.com, the Sean Baker Orchestra. Turtlehead is our band.
Correct.
Was together for about, 30 minutes?
Day.
Yeah.
Half a day.
Yeah.
But we're still together. And let me tell you why we're still together. I just got a Facebook message about a week or two ago when we were about to talk to Brendan Small, and Mike Portnoy said, make sure you tell him about Turtlehead.
Yeah, cool. Well, Turtlehead is also not only our band with Frankie, Mike, and Bobby, it is also the password for the Talking Metal forums. We'd love to chat with you guys on there. Come on, join us. It's talkingmetalforums.com. Z-Man, Exciter, Shotaholic, John, Mark, Marzeri, 2005. Yeah. We're all there hanging out, having a good time. So we'd love to speak with you on the Talking Metal forums.
I startled a few people the other day because I went on and I looked on the bottom of the screen and found who were on. And then I posted a new topic in the metal bar that said, hi, biker chick from Texas. Kind of rare for me to just pop on there and start sending people personal messages. But I was in a good mood. And guys, you know, I'm online every second, you know, working on the Talking Metal website. But when I get a chance, I jump on the forums. I jumped on them last night. And that is a great place to go if you want to talk some metal with a bunch of cool people, including the Talking Metal gang.
Cool. And I guess that's about it. Slash, who is a big fan of Ace.
Correct.
You actually hung out with Slash and Ace in Las Vegas a few years ago.
Yep.
Had some great stories about that. But anyway, Slash has just finished his solo album. He's finished recording it. Now he is moving into the mixing phase. And a lot of Talking Metal related people, including Nick Oliveri and Ozzy Osbourne, will be on the album with Slash. Izzy, I think, will appear, Steven Adler, and maybe even Fergie, for better or worse.
Wow. How about that?
Yeah, so that's kind of interesting. I'm looking forward to hearing the new Slash album and looking forward to having Slash back on the podcast when he goes into press mode for the record.
Definitely.
Yeah. If you haven't heard our interview with Slash, go back into the archives. It was a good interview. It was one of our best, I think.
Definitely. And you can see some clips from that interview in the videos page, so check that out too.
Sweet. Stay tuned for Devin Townsend. He will probably be on the very next episode of the podcast. And we will continue with our countdown to Anomaly real soon. Probably in a week or two, we'll be back with, I believe, part 3 of the countdown.
Definitely. So why don't we close this episode with another rare Ace track? Speaking of Guitar World magazine, where we did the photos, this is from an album called Guitar World Presents Guitars That Rule the World, Volume 2, Smell the Fuzz. The Superstar Guitar album came out in 1996, and this is a song by Ace called Cherokee Boogie. It's dedicated to Monique Fraley.